out of love and of life. Quiet our hearts and still our fears, that we might hear the voice of the shepherd. Amen. Please be seated. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. That pretty much sums up the Gospel of John, if you ask me. And so I thought we might try to look at this parable together, maybe with our own modern-day parables, and wade our way through it, because every year we get to have Good Shepherd Sunday. But do we always examine all of the pieces that are tied up in that? I was really excited when I found out I was preaching Good Shepherd Sunday as my first Sunday really back from Ireland, because I thought, aha, I've seen in the movies they have sheep there. And I was right. I didn't realize quite how many sheep or how many one-way roads that were really two-way roads that were kind of terrifying in a rental car. But I was right about the sheep. Because this parable can sometimes get, I think, a little bit lost in our modern culture when we're not constantly traveling past pastures and seeing what is actually going on with the sheep. You see, I, for the past 4 years, have been planning this pilgrimage that I just got back from. I've always wanted to travel to Ireland. Shocking, I know, for an O'Brien. But when I was in seminary and looking at the rich culture of Celtic spirituality and Celtic Christianity, I fell in love and found a home for my heart and knew I had to go there. I knew I needed to learn more, and I needed to take a class, and I needed to really start to examine how this ancient spirituality can be woven into our modern lives. And so I went, and I ran, and I allowed the lens of my camera to lead me most days. And finally, I had to put a moratorium on pictures of sheep, because there are only so many pictures of sheep one person needs. And who really wants to go through 500 or so pictures of sheep and pick out the good ones? I'm not exaggerating. So I cut myself down, and I went through, and I went to Armagh, the ecclesiastical capital, and I visited the cathedrals, and I took a class at the Navan Center. And I went up to Giant's Causeway, and I saw these amazing works of God in nature. And I had planned for my entire trip to culminate in Glendalough, to spend 3 days in silent retreat at the end of this adventure in these ancient ruins of St. Kevin's Monastery, of this ancient Celtic Christian city. And I was so excited about it. And then I got there, and it was sunny. It was sunny almost my whole trip. Miss Holy Spirit hooked me up. And I arrived in Glendalough after 8 days by myself, realizing kind of the whole thing was a silent retreat, so do I really want to go through with this? And so I dropped my stuff in my hermitage and decided to go straight over to see the city. And I happened into the churchyard, and I was ready to just fall down and sit in prayer when I encountered the first of many tour groups. Bless the tour groups. Really, God bless them. And I came in, and I found this gorgeous tombstone that was falling over with this amazing quote of scripture. And I was kneeling beneath it and just putting my hands on it when I overheard the overeager tour guide encouraging the teenage boy on the tour to see if he could get his arms all the way around St. Kevin's cross. Oh, it hurt my heart. This ancient, beautiful carved relic, and we were making sure we could hug it all the way around, and whoever could was going to get a prize at the end of the tour. And I tried so hard to be quiet, and I reminded myself that other people find God in different ways than I do, and other people pray in different ways than I do, and there's nothing wrong with any of these wonderful families who are traveling together, but gosh darn it, I came to pray. Oh wait, that's me being judgmental. So I remembered my teacher had told me about St. Mary's Church, or the Church of Our Lady, which is off to the side. out of the way. And she said, if you need to get quiet, go there. So I went out to the road and walked along because you can't get to St. Mary's Church. It's in a pasture. There's barbed wire surrounding the pasture on the side where Glendalough lies. Looks like it's trying to keep all of us tourists out. But I was told I could go there. And so I walked the entire perimeter for miles looking for where I was allowed to go in, and I couldn't find a gate until I started walking back and realized that the big intimidating sign on the first gate I encountered must be the right one. There was a huge sign in capital letters that said, "No dogs allowed. Any dogs bothering sheep will be shot on sight." Thank God Alistair was not with me. And I realized, if I want to go to the Church of Our Lady, I have to open this gate. And I looked around, and I entered the first gate. And I walked along the side, and there was a pasture on either side, and there were adorable baby lambs, and I decided, aha, this is my chance to pet the lambs. So I knelt down and very quietly said, "Come here," and they ran away because they didn't know my voice. And so I decided to give up on that dream and to keep walking. And I kept walking, constantly afraid I was going to run into that shepherd who posted that terrifying sign. But I didn't. All I encountered was peace. I got to the back of that first gateway pasture and found another gate. And I went in. And this time I was actually in the enclosure with the sheep. And they were all around and they didn't really even notice me. And then I saw the moss-covered steps that were built so long ago to get up and over the ancient rock fence surrounding this church. The sheep were there before I was, probably as long as the church has been there. And what I found when I got inside that fence with the ruins was beautiful. There was a green, mossy spot where I could sit outside of the door with a perfect view of the lower lake and the upper lake. And I was told that the tiny rock-hewn cross that had no knots on it, it was the least remarkable of all of the crosses I had seen. I discovered that that was the cross where they buried the babies that had died before they were baptized because they wanted them to have the most beautiful view. And I sat and I prayed for 2 hours, and not a single person came inside of the enclosure with me. And it was perfect. And I left, and I felt at peace, and I didn't actually go back to Glendalough from my hermitage less than a kilometer away for the next 2 days, because my heart was full of things that I needed to go through. It was perfect. And so when I arrived home with my 500-plus pictures of sheep and began ruminating on these passages of Scripture, I realized, I love Good Shepherd Sunday. It's peaceful and beautiful. But is it? We so often focus on this day solely on the image of this wonderful shepherd who is there to protect us and lead us, whose voice we know and whose voice we follow, that I think sometimes we forget or choose to look past, where we're told that Jesus is the gate and all who follow Jesus will be led towards their salvation. But what does this say about my friends and neighbors who might be Jewish or Muslim? Maybe they're Buddhist or atheist or agnostic. Maybe they're wonderful, loving people who I love with my whole heart, but what about them? Is this the part of Scripture where we can just cross it out and say, oh, don't worry, they didn't mean that, or it was contextual, or there's a historical reason that it was written the way it was, all of which might have some validity? But can we really pick and choose which parts of Scripture we say, this is the truth that I follow, and this is the piece that I throw out? Or do we have to struggle with those stumbling blocks? Do we have to look at them and wonder, what message does God have for me here? Now, I'm not going to debate with you here today all of the different religious systems of the world. We don't have the time, and I don't have the energy. But we can talk about it later, I promise. What I did in my prayer when I sat with that difficult question was I asked, who are the thieves and who are the bandits? Who are these people that Jesus is warning us about, that we need to listen for our shepherd's voice? And I couldn't tear that question away from the news that I've been watching. I couldn't tear that question away from the internet meme, "Bring back our girls." We don't condemn people of other faith traditions, but I don't know a God who would say, go kidnap and sell these children into slavery. I don't know a God who would say that. And so I have to ask, when people say, I do this in the name of God, what God are you following? Or what God are you creating? Because I don't believe our shepherd would send that call to anyone. But I must ask what our shepherd would lead us into in response to those thieves and bandits who have broken into the sheepfold and who have taken our sisters. Now, this is only one of many examples I could have brought here this morning, but it's the one that has been burning within me every single time I read this pasture. It's really easy to listen to the shepherd's voice, to walk into the sheepfold, to go sit at Our Lady Church and pray in the sun on a beautiful Irish afternoon. It is really hard to follow our shepherd's voice when it calls us forward to action against terror, against injustice, against the thieves and the bandits who would kill and destroy our hope if we give them the chance. Our shepherd is peaceful, and our shepherd is protective, and our shepherd is calling us forward. There might be a terrifying sign on the gate that we have to get the courage up to step past in order to be in action. But once we move past the fear, once we move past the barbed wire, once we move past what is staying around us to protect us, that, my friends, is where the treasure lies. We can stay where we feel protected, where we feel like nothing can touch us, or we can follow the voice of our shepherd into the dangerous places, into the chaotic places, and discover that ultimate peace is actually what we were being led towards in that action. I don't know about you, but I can't follow a shepherd who doesn't want all the sheep to come along. I think we are following a shepherd who's leading us to those dangerous places so that at the end of this walk, we all end up with the beautiful view of the lakes together. I have over 500 pictures of sheep if you'd like one for your wall. You can look at it as you go into those scary places. But we all have to go together. Amen.